On Mohegan Bluffs at the southeast corner of Block Island, a historic lighthouse perches high above the Atlantic Ocean. The site boasts panoramic views of the sea and the island's coastline, but on this day there's something else too. A large pair of steel structures and a crane vessel dot the horizon.
You know, it's an event, it's an historic happening.
Year-round island resident Peter Bowdy watches the construction for what will be the nation's first offshore wind farm. It's a pilot project 3 miles off the coast, and it will produce enough energy to power 17,000 homes, including the entire island.
That's interesting. There's two platforms out there. Let's just take a look.
Bowdy narrows his eyes as he lifts up binoculars. He sees a tugboat pulling foundations that will anchor the turbines underwater. Bowdy, a retired physician, thinks the wind farm is a step toward reducing carbon emissions.
They affect people's lungs, and there's a certain relationship to cancers of various kinds, including breast cancer. And there's like a stream of airborne pollution that comes over this part of the country from the Midwest. And to the extent that we can diminish that, we're going to have an effect on the health of people in this part of the country. It's important.
A few feet away, Ray Torrey says he and his wife are eager for the energy savings the wind farm promises to bring. The project is just 5 turbines, but it's expected to reduce electricity bills on the island by about 40%.
Well, we don't have any air conditioning, and our bill is about $500 a month. I think the last time I checked, we're paying 56, 57 cents a kilowatt hour. And I think they on the mainland, they pay 12 or 13.
Maybe 15 now.
But we're paying almost 4 times as much as the people on the mainland pay.
Block Island has one of the highest electricity rates in the country because they have to ferry 1 million gallons of diesel oil every year to fuel generators. The wind farm comes with a 20-mile underwater cable that will connect the island to the mainland electric grid. That way, the island can draw electricity even when the wind farm isn't producing energy. Down the road, Torrey expects the cable will have another advantage, upgrading the island's slow internet connection.
You know, we can't stream a movie. It doesn't work. We rely on very old-fashioned, almost obsolete technology. And with the cable, we are hoping to get fiber optic technology that'll allow us to step into the 21st century.
But not every year-round resident is pleased with this project. 4 miles north of the iconic Mohegan Bluffs, in her air-conditioned house, Edith Blaine remains skeptical.
It's not just cost. I mean, I'm from here. All my life, I've looked at the Bluffs. There's been nothing between the Bluffs on Block Island and Portugal. And now we're going to see these things out there.
Blaine has lively debates about the wind farm with her son, who supports it. She says he and others keep telling her how beautiful the wind turbines are going to be.
I don't think so, because they're going to have bells, whistles, lights, and you know that they are. So that the beauty and the calm and the stillness and the loveliness of a summer night, it's never going to be the same again.
Blaine is not alone.
I'm opposed to this project for one reason. Cost.
Mary Jane Blazer owns the only grocery store on Block Island. She's the largest user of electricity in town.
By far. Why? Because we're open year-round, and all the refrigeration, we are the largest business and user on Block Island.
Blazer's concerned that her electric bills will remain high even when the wind farm goes online.
It's ludicrous that we would be spending on the dollars they have projected, and trust me, it'll be a lot more than that before they're done, when you could have a cable to service us for less than $30 million.
National Grid has agreed to buy the wind farm's surplus under a 20-year contract, starting at a rate of 24.4 cents per kilowatt hour for the first year. Then it'll go up by 3.5% each year. The utility company will also build, own, and operate the underwater transmission cable, and the cost of construction will show up in a rate increase for customers. National Grid says it can't calculate the rate increases until the wind farm is operating, but it anticipates that a household using 500 kilowatt hours per month will see an increase of less than $2 per month. Blazer harbors doubts about those rate projections.
And I'd rather pay what I'm paying now than what this end result is going to be, because I think that it's not going to be what everyone thinks it is.
She thinks people have been hoodwinked by what she calls buzzwords like green energy.
Are we like lemmings that we run over the edge to be the first to have a wind farm offshore?
Back on Mohegan Bluffs, Peter Bowdy admits the wind farm is a delicate topic. In this small community, some residents steer clear of discussion if they know they don't see eye to eye. But Bowdy believes the majority of year-round residents support the project. The
world has to get away from coal and oil. And this is one of the ways it's going to happen. It's not the only way, but this is a start. And we've never done this in the United States before. This is the first time anybody's done this. Europe is far ahead of us. So I'm thrilled to see that this is actually happening.
Representatives from the federal government plan to attend a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the project, noting the Block Island Wind Farm as evidence of the Obama administration's commitment to renewable energy. But on Block Island, debate over the project continues. I'm Bar Espinosa, Rhode Island Public Radio.